Congress will keep a close eye on whether the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act works for agencies as Congress plans it to. Agencies were supposed to hand in their plans for implementing FITARA last week. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee says it might consider giving agencies report cards to measure how well they stick to those plans. David Pounder's Director of Information Technology Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office, looking at the idea of grades to push agencies to perform better. Thanks for coming on this afternoon. As always, Dave, what are some of the things that we should watch for in FITARA implementation as these agencies roll their plans out? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to be here, Francis, and good afternoon. A couple things that I think are real important to watch for. Probably the number one area you really want to look at is the first section of FITARA, which really attempts to strengthen CIO authorities. And, you know, we know that's a major problem in the federal government. Some CIOs have the right authorities, many don't. And, you know, with the with FITARA, it's asking for CIOs to get control of the entire budget picture on IT. And, you know, these plans that are due to OMB are really, for lack of a better term, it's almost like a gap assessment on the, you know, the current authorities versus the authorities that we want to get to. And our agency is going to be really forthright in terms of the challenges and obstacles that they face in establishing the right authorities. Many of these large federated agencies, this is going to be a tough one for them. And, you know, our CIO is really going to be able to get their arms around all the spending. There's some hard requirements in FITARA about certifying incremental development and approving all IT contracts. And, you know, the real intent here is to strengthen those authorities. And I think with the strengthening of authorities, you know, we're going to see, you know, probably some changing with some of the CIOs at certain agencies and departments. And, you know, the intent is to attract even a higher quality CIO across the federal government.
What do you think will drive that attrition? Is it just because it's human nature to not like change, or is it because of the specific responsibilities that CIOs will be asked to take on, or some other thing?
Well, I do think, you know, we're already seeing a lot of that. There's a lot of change going on with the CIO at many of the departments and agencies right now. And this is nothing new, Francis. I mean, you look back on our work on CIOs, the average 10 years is only about 2 years, right? And so, you know, we think with some of the new requirements and everything, you know, there's a couple really qualified CIOs that are currently in the federal government and clearly want those folks to stick around and stay. But, you know, I can look at, you know, places like IRS that had critical position pay for CIOs, you know, where you actually attracted a fair number of private sector CIOs to that position. Because why? It wasn't necessarily because of the additional pay, because it's really not that much compared to what they're making in the private sector, but it was a real CIO position with the right authorities. And hopefully that's the intent, that we're going to get people who are really interested in some of these positions going forward.
I mentioned that the implementation strategies were due to OMB last week. Having the strategy is one thing. Implementing it and then looking back on it and saying, did we achieve the outcomes that we wanted, is entirely different. How will we know, how soon, I guess, will we know whether those measures were set appropriately against the outcomes that we're seeing? How will we get to a point where we know if these strategies are really working?
Yeah, so that's a really good point. I mean, obviously, these strategies are going to be put in place. And, you know, they're to be updated every year, I think, around the April timeframe. There's a couple key things, whether FITARA is working or not. One, just to reiterate the importance of the CIO authorities or CIOs getting their arms around all the spending. Are they approving IT contracts? The other thing, too, is, you know, two big parts of FITARA is to fix IT acquisitions. Are we delivering more frequently when it comes to the IT acquisitions? A big part of that, Francis, is going with smaller incremental development. It's been proven, you know, over the years that, you know, if you go smaller, there's a higher likelihood of success. And then again, you can't lose sight of the 75% to 80% of the money that's being spent on legacy. You know, are we shifting some of that spending to new development? Are we reducing duplication through the portfolio stat initiatives? Are we addressing the unused capacity in data centers and really looking at those inefficiencies on the legacy spend? So again, I would say if you look at FITARA, and but whether it's working, are we fixing the CIO position? Are we having better, more efficient spending on the legacy side? And are we delivering more with the new acquisitions.
Dave Pounder, the Government Accountability Office, you talk about going smaller, Dave, and my fear is that the pendulum swings to where everybody runs around with their hands in the air screaming, agile, 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 and it just turns into another kind of desensitized buzzword that doesn't really wind up with better outcomes. Is that a concern of yours, or is just the idea of going smaller with no name attached to it, do you think, sufficient to keep people focused on what the benefit is?
Yeah, Francis, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, you can't just go small and say, okay, we're going to deliver in 3 months or 6 months, and you know, here's our budget, and whatever we get done in 3 or 6 months is what gets done.
Right.
You need to actually have a plan on, you know, what's expected to deliver versus what we deliver. So you have to have the right metrics, not just on cost and schedule, but are we delivering what was planned? And that's really key to still have that discipline and rigor. And I will say this, too. Going incremental isn't all about agile. Agile is a great methodology, but you could actually take the waterfall approach and still break a large acquisition maybe into an annual delivery, and that would be okay. You know, I've done a lot of work over the years on these large weather satellites, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even that, you know, where we have a satellite like NPOS was a major failure that we've highlighted for years. They attempted to put 13 sensors on a satellite. DoD doesn't even do that, right? That's too complex. What are we doing now? We're putting 5 sensors on a satellite. If we did that initially, would we have had all the problems that we had over the past 10 years with that acquisition? Probably a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all relative when you say go small. It doesn't necessarily have to be 3 or 6 months. I mean, if you do things within a year, that would be a huge improvement when you look at our track record today.
You spoke recently about this, about the measures and what we should be measuring and evaluating. And you suggested that retiring legacy applications might be a good thing to do that, to evaluate. Is that just because of the money, as you talked about earlier, such a huge part of the IT spend goes to maintaining legacy systems, or are there other reasons too, Dave?
Yeah, well, a couple things here. That's a big part of it, Francis. So if we're spending 75% to 80% of the IT spend of the $80 billion on legacy applications, I mean, we have duplication. That'll help reduce that spend, right, with portfolio debt. We have unused capacity with data centers, you know, where we could migrate to the cloud. That would help shift that spending. But the other thing is you look at some of the old archaic systems we have. I mean, I can go to the dashboard right now, and I have over 25 systems that are 25 years or older. That's a lot. I mean, those are a lot of the big mainframe systems that we have in place.
Mm-hmm. And they're major systems, too. They're not just...
They're major. I mean, it's a major part of agencies, at, you know, applicate. And the question becomes, you know, it's difficult to retire those systems because they're so essential to the operations of some of these agencies. But it is so expensive to maintain these systems, and it's only going to get worse over time when you start looking at maintaining COBOL and assembler code and that type of thing. It's just quite difficult. So you really do need to start looking at retiring the big stuff along with portfolio stat and the data center work.
Any evaluation measures that you've heard people talk about that you think maybe are not so important, that maybe sound like good measures but don't necessarily contribute to the outcome that people want?
Well, I think, you know, your word outcome is where you want to go. You want to have the right measures that drive the right behaviors and the right outcomes, right? And right now we're fairly encouraged. You mentioned a little bit about the scorecard with Congress. There's some good discussions up there with the Oversight and Government Reform Committee where they would actually provide a scorecard on agencies' implementation of FITARA. And that's tied to things like they're considering things like, you know, are we achieving the savings that we set out to save on data center consolidation and portfolio stat? You know, are we actually going small? Those are the right things to measure because we know that, one, you want savings, and is it driving the right behavior on large acquisitions where we're breaking up into more manageable pieces? So we're seeing some good things there. I think with OMB, with their plans, that they want agencies to put in place an evaluation of those FITARA implementation plans. I think they're working with GSA to review those plans. There's a lot of good metrics that are being put in place that I think are outcome-focused. And the other thing that we're encouraged by, too, is, you know, you have our work is supporting the Hill with their scorecard and our audits, and then you have OMB that has a huge role working with the federal agencies and the plans, and there's a lot of good communication on who's planning to measure what so that we're not duplicating a lot. We're complementing each other because we all have very similar goals going forward here.
Yeah, and I think that that qualification of what the measures are going to be that's on that scorecard are going to be really important, because agencies will move toward that stuff, and maybe there will be some places that will go that will look at it as a compliance exercise. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z just so I get a good grade on the scorecard. I know that's not what we want, but that's how it will happen. And so I guess if you back into the right results, that's almost as good as going about it intentionally. Is that a fair statement,
yeah, that's
do you think?
True, but yeah, that's true. But I think your point about the compliance, we really want to avoid a compliance focus. This
yeah.
isn't about passing an audit or doing that. You know, for instance, one of the discussions is, you know, within FATAR, this is an interesting debate, as the IT dashboard is now codified in law, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you want is you want an accurate assessment of risk on these major investments. And so you got some agencies that have no reds and very few yellows. And one of the discussions on the Hill is, you know, we want to look at implementing the dashboard more effectively. So do you reward agencies for putting all greens and very little yellows and reds, or do you give a higher grade to an agency that acknowledges that they have a risk? I would say probably the latter right now, because that's driving the right behavior. Because mm-hmm. if you acknowledge risk, we're going to be more effectively manage it. But those are the types of discussions that are occurring right now. But your point about we want to avoid this compliance thing, it's really about fixing the CIO position, saving money on the inefficient spending, and delivering better.
One final thought, and I'll let you go. You commented, I saw in FCW, that the number that we usually use to talk about IT spending in government, $80 billion approximately, may be too low. What would you like to see counted that's not being counted in that number right now?
So, Francis, you know, we've looked at this issue over the years, and there are some things, like I can point to specific examples, you know, like satellites. You know, is a satellite IT or not? You could debate that. I would say it is, but a ground station associated with the satellite is definitely IT. Supercomputers at DOE are now categorized as facilities and not IT. So there's specific examples we have. But the other thing that I think will happen is not only how we categorize IT and what's on the IT dashboard. But if you look at FATARA, and if CIOs really get their arms around all the spending, there's in many agencies, there's corners of agencies where there's money being spent on IT that doesn't have enough visibility, right? And that's what FATARA is intended to do, to get greater visibility there. So I think with FATARA, there's an updated definition of IT that OMB put out in their guidance. And there's also an effort to capture more of this spending that's kind of behind closed doors right now. So with that, we would expect probably an uptick in the $80 billion. And, you know, one measure of success might be in the next several years, do you see that $80 billion going up? Not necessarily because we're investing in different things, but it's just getting reported more accurately.